They took off together, the castle looming in front of them. Charlie's puffing increased steadily in volume. That and Krobeg's loud, thumping steps were all Ben could hear past the blood throbbing in his ears. As they got halfway, Ben managed to shout, despite being out of breath, "Start running!" The castle was getting closer, and Ben poured on the speed. Natalie was the only one outstripping him. He dared not look back, but he could hear hoofbeats pummeling the ground. They had to be closing fast, and it sounded like a few dozen on horseback. Sword in one hand and spellshooter in the other, Ben sneaked a look back over his shoulder and saw Joshua with a shield strapped across his back for protection. They were intent on getting to the palace, but he and the others knew that no safety awaited them there, if they even made it in time. Ben let out a defiant scream and heard his friends joining him. He wasn't going to die here, so close to the goal. They ran on, the sound of the stampede behind them drowning out everything as the castle rapidly approached. Chapter 26. Krobeg's Great Sacrifice.
"We're not going to make it!" Joshua shouted.
They were running full speed across the field now, but the Dark Elf knights and their black horses were quickly closing the gap. Ben could see at once that Josh was right. They simply weren't fast enough to keep any distance between themselves and those soldiers, and there was too much ground left to cover. They wouldn't reach the castle in time. He quickly scanned the area up ahead.
"There!"
he shouted, pointing a little to the left of them. The hill the castle sat upon was not perfectly even, and in some places it projected outwards more than in others. The spot he'd indicated was one of those. If there was any place where they had even the slightest chance to reach the top of the hill before being attacked, it would be there.
"Go!" Krobeg hollered back. "I will slow them down!"
And the silver-haired dwarf turned and cut at an angle across the field. He was no longer headed for that spot on the hill. Instead, he shot like a silver bullet directly at the Dark Elves. Ben wanted to argue, to call his friend back, to keep them together, but he couldn't think of anything more effective to do. Krobeg stood the best chance of stopping the soldiers, and even if he just held them back long enough for the rest of their group to reach the hill, Ben knew the freedom of the world was at stake. So he just gritted his teeth and pushed on, running as fast as he could. He heard a loud, crazed whoop and knew that Krobeg had reached the Dark Elves and was launching himself at them, silver axe in hand. Ben didn't stop or slow or turn to see. He couldn't worry about that just now. Instead, he focused all of his energy, all of his strength, upon that hill. What seemed like only seconds later, he suddenly realized he was climbing, his legs carrying him higher with each stride. And then he was atop the hill, the ground leveling out, the walls of the castle looming overhead from only a few yards away. Ben paused to catch his breath a second, then turned and studied the scene that had sprung up behind him, and the one forming around him even now. Natalie had arrived before him, and Joshua was climbing up now. Charlie, Dagmar, and Abigail were just a few paces behind. Ben felt a quick burst of pride and relief to see that his best friend wasn't slowing the rest of the group down at all. Charlie was breathing like a bellows, and his face was bright red, but he was still moving and showed no sign of stopping. As the three charged the hill, Ben moved to the edge, leaning down and out, and offering his hand to haul each one the last few feet to the top once they were close enough to grasp. Several Dark Elves were right behind them, black horses laboring up the steep incline. Ben shouted over his shoulder,
"Get ready! Natalie, I hate to say this, but aim for the horses!"
An instant later, Natalie and Josh stood beside him, and they let fly silver streaks which wrapped around the horse's legs. With a crash, the five knights that had made it past Krobeg went down, still far enough away that the guardians would make it into the castle now. The rest were further back, all clustered or strewn about a certain silver-clad, silver-haired figure. Krobeg was certainly making the Dark Elves earn their pay. Ben could see that his friend was laying about him with his silver axe, knocking aside blade after blade and hacking through defense and armor. His other arm was hardly idle. Instead, Krobeg would sometimes lash out with his fist, punching a Dark Elf hard enough to send the warrior off his feet. Not all of those struck so hard rose again. Even with such skill and strength, Krobeg could not face an entire army on his own. As more soldiers appeared to join the fray, the dwarf became more and more outnumbered. Ben scowled down at the scene and studied his spellshooter, wondering what spells he might have that could make a difference. There had to be something. He punched his leg in frustration. As fast as he came up with an idea, he cast it aside as unworkable. His other friend stood by just as helpless. Finally, Dagmar touched him on the arm. "Ben, it's time to go." Ben shook his head. "There has to be something we can do." He had attack spells, of course, but most of them required a much closer range, and the few longer-range spells he had weren't well suited to the conflict or the terrain. No, he'd have to think of something else. If only, Ben thought, watching his friend fight alone down there, he had a way to safely transport Krobeg here with the rest of them, now that they were all here safely. And suddenly, he realized that at least one of them did.
"Charlie!"
Ben shouted, startling his best friend, who stood only a few feet away.
"Remember that spell you used once? The one like a whip that wrapped around someone?"
Charlie nodded. "The light lash? Sure. I've got one of those loaded right now. You never know when it'll come in handy."
"Perfect."
Ben grabbed Charlie with one hand and pointed with the other.
"Use it now on him, but not like a whip, like a lasso."
Charlie's eyes narrowed with understanding.
"Got it."
In a second, Charlie had his spell shooter up and was aiming, right at Krobeg. The spell he fired was a long, thin, glowing yellow strand, like a tiny stream of concentrated sunlight. It arrowed straight for the dwarf and wrapped at last around his right arm, shoulder and torso. And then Charlie yanked his arm back, and the burly dwarf went flying, the recoiled spell tugging him through the air and straight at their little group.
"Scatter!"
Ben shouted, and dove to the side. The others did the same, rolling out of the way, dodging aside or leaping back as Krobeg hurtled towards them. The dwarf hit with a loud crash right beside Charlie, and Ben was quick to offer a hand to lift both of them back to their feet.
"Thank you," Krobeg told him once he was standing again. "Another few minutes, and I could tell even Elizabeth's armor would have buckled."
Charlie dusted himself off.
"Well, I couldn't let that happen. There is still a considerable number of recipes you've yet to cook for me."
The dwarf barked a laugh. Dagmar came over, a frown on her face.
"We need to move. It is commendable you saved Krobeg, and we wouldn't have any chance at all without Krobeg holding off the knights, but we still need to make our way inside. There is a small door, perhaps a dozen yards south of us," she reported, pointing to the right. "We should make for it at once."
Ben nodded.
"Let's go."
They sprinted in that direction, but had gone only a few feet before the first of the remaining soldiers crested the hill and charged. Others were right behind.
"Keep moving,"
Ben ordered, firing a spell to tangle one soldier's feet and sweeping the sword at another.
"Don't let them pin us down."
Everyone had weapons in hand now, and it became a running battle as the guardians struggled to reach the door. They had to get inside. A few purple bolts shot out, but they all gravitated towards Ben and just bounced off. After the first attempt failed, followed by some surprised shouts, the Dark Elves dropped that tactic in favor of arrows, which began intermittently raining down. Krobeg began slowing, clearly intending to buy the rest of them more time again, but Ben grabbed the dwarf by the arm.
"Help Abigail," he instructed instead. "We can't afford to lose her."
The Guardian of the Helm was not only the youngest of them, she was also the weakest physically, and she'd had the least spell shooter training. Everyone else could at least defend themselves. Krobeg nodded at once and turned to place himself beside the young blonde girl, his silver axe flashing as he blocked a dark elf sword and knocked it and two others aside. Next, Ben called to Natalie and Josh.
"Get to the door,"
he shouted across the clash and noise of the fighting about them.
"Don't worry about the soldiers. Just get there and be ready to open it."
The two of them nodded and dashed on ahead, concentrating purely on speed. They were the two fastest members of the group, and now that they weren't worrying about fighting, they quickly outpaced everyone else, but that was fine. Ben knew they'd have to be through the door the instant the whole group reached it. He, Charlie and Dagmar continued to fight their way across the hill, as did Krobeg. Abigail was doing her best as well. With the dwarf shielding her, she had enough time and space to fire off spells that slowed or downed several of their attackers, and foot by foot, the little group advanced. The sun was setting now, the sky beginning to darken. The forest they'd so recently stepped from already nothing more than a blotch of shadow on the horizon. The castle, a massive wall of darkness behind them. Their weapons and spells and the energy blasts of the Dark Elves were vivid in the twilight. But so was something else. Ben blinked, then looked again to make sure he was seeing correctly. But he definitely was. Each of his friends was glowing. That wasn't quite true. It was Abigail, Krobeg, and Dagmar who were glowing. Up ahead, he saw a similar patch of illumination he guessed to be Josh. Glancing down, Ben confirmed that he had that same glow. It could only be Elizabeth's armor. Arrows started raining down from the castle walls as they got close enough, followed by stones and other objects. A dark elf attacked, swinging his sword and firing a burst of purple right at Ben's chest. The spell bounced off, of course, but the sword seemed to slow as well, its full effect blunted. The arrows from the walls all somehow swerved and missed. So it was protection, Ben thought, as he knocked the dark elf's blade aside and fired a stun bolt directly into the soldier's chest. Elizabeth's armor was shielding them. Perhaps it sensed that they were close to Saktar and near to completing its mission. Whatever the reason, Ben was happy to take as much help as they could get. He grabbed Charlie and pulled him over. "Stay close to me!" Charlie's eyes widened as he saw that Ben was now glowing with a white light, but he didn't argue. They skidded to a stop at the little door beside Natalie and Josh. The others were right behind him.
"Open it!" he gasped,
and Natalie nodded. She fired her key spell into the lock, right below the door's heavy iron ring, and Ben heard the click as it worked. Sweat trickling down her forehead, she yanked the door open. It groaned on its hinges as it swung outwards, revealing a dark hallway beyond. Joshua went first. Elizabeth's shield held out front to protect them from any unseen attack, and the rest followed. All but Krobeg.
"Get inside!"
Ben ordered, waving towards the small door. Instead, the dwarf walked over and shoved him hard, right through the open door.
"Get moving," Krobeg ordered.
The burly dwarf took one large step and placed himself squarely in the doorway, filling it from side to side, if not top to bottom.
"I will stop any pursuit."
And he raised his silver axe, facing the soldiers already beginning to rush towards him.
"Krobeg!"
Ben started. He knew at once that if the dwarf stayed here to block the door, there was no way they could pull him to safety this time, and that, even with Elizabeth's armor, it would be impossible for him to hold off all of Saktar's soldiers forever. He would either have to defeat every warrior who came at him, or die trying. The silver-haired dwarf nodded, parrying one blow and turning another.
"I know,"
he said, his tone heavy but his voice calm.
"Go. This is my task. I am the guardian of the breastplate, and I stand here to protect the rest of you from harm."
He swung his axe in a mighty arc, clearing the doorway for a second, then turned and met Ben's eyes.
"Go," he said again. "Finish the mission. Complete our task, Benjamin Greenwood. End the threat and save the world."
Ben blinked back sudden tears. It wasn't supposed to be like this.
"I will," he promised. "We will."
Then without another word, he did the hardest thing he would ever do. He turned and left his friend there and started after the others. The sounds of battle echoed after him long after he had rounded a corner and lost all sight of the door, and of his valiant friend, the Silver Dwarf. Chapter 27. Help from Surprising Places. The others were waiting for Ben a few yards further around that bend, tense and expectant, and with weapons still at the ready. When they saw him, they relaxed a little, but only for a moment. It was Abigail who voiced it first.
"Where's Krobeg?"
she asked, peering past Ben as if the dwarf might emerge at any moment.
"Are we waiting for him?"
Ben wiped a hand across his eyes and steeled his voice.
"He's doing his duty in order to let us do ours. It's the only way. So we need to get a move on to make his sacrifice count."
"What?"
Abigail glanced around at everyone else, her eyes going wide. Natalie had tears running down her face, and Charlie looked like he was in shock. Joshua nodded and rolled his shoulders.
"I'm going ahead so I can keep the tunnel clear," he declared, his voice husky. "If Krobeg can hold the army back, it's the least I can do."
Dagmar stepped up to Ben and leaned in close.
"Ben, you made the right decision. Being in charge, you sometimes have to be the one to make the hard choices."
She put her hand on his shoulder.
It looks like the boots took us to an unused entry, the only safe way to get in. That said, I don't think it'll take Saktar's soldiers long to find out where it goes and trap us from both sides.
Ben took a shuddering breath. Joshua had gone on ahead, but the others were looking at him in various degrees of shock or grief.
We need to keep moving, he said softly. There's no telling how long it will be before they get through that door.
Abigail sobbed again at that, but finally nodded. They all understood. The worst thing they could do right now was to make Krobeg's sacrifice be in vain.
Dagmar, Ben said, and the Stucky Institute member stepped to his side. We need the fastest way to Saktar, he instructed.
She nodded. This place did not want me to find it, she stated, indicating the castle with a wave of her hand. But now that we are inside, it has no fight left. I will find him for us.
Good.
Ben glanced at his friends.
We're going to need to be very careful, he pointed out. We're in their stronghold now, and we have no idea how many Saktar has here, but we can assume it's a lot. Plus, we're not as strong as we were, so we'll have to be on our guard.
They set off at a rapid pace, and quickly caught up to Joshua, who nodded a silent greeting. They moved ahead quickly, conscious of the fact that Krobeg had bought them this time to get away and wanting to honour his courage. The tunnel went on and on, Dagmar reassuring them that this was definitely the way the boots were directing them. After some time, they came to a hallway that split in two. One path seemed to go down, and dampness came from that direction. The other went up, and they could see lights along the corridor. Ben started that way, surprised at how different the two tunnels were, but Joshua grabbed his arm, stopping him.
"Aren't you forgetting something?" Josh asked,
a hint of hope clear in his tone.
"We're in Saktar's palace."
He paused a second, but when Ben didn't reply, he continued.
"You know, his palace, where he keeps his greatest treasures and his most important prisoners?"
He nodded to the damp, dark corridor off to their right.
"That looks an awful lot like the way to a dungeon to me."
Ben straightened like someone had just thrown a bucket of cold water on him, his eyes locked on Joshua's. In all the attention on finding this place and getting to Saktar, he had intentionally locked such thoughts away in order to remain focused on the bigger picture. Ben knew his parents were here somewhere. They had gone after Saktar themselves and had almost died as a result, surviving only by transporting themselves into the void. But when you went into the void, you left your physical body behind, wrapped in an impenetrable mystic shell. Saktar couldn't get to them, but he would have guards posted to take advantage of that shield dropping the second they returned to this plane. The fate of Josh's dad was less certain. He was a high-ranking warden, one of Draven's most trusted lieutenants, and had led a critical raid against Saktar and his forces. The raid had failed, and all the other wardens had been killed, but Josh's father's body had not been recovered. It made sense that he would have been captured if at all possible. If he had been, he very well could be here.
"We need to go get them," Josh said now. "Your parents, my dad, we can save them."
The older boy sounded half excited and half desperate.
"Now, before Saktar realizes we're here."
He looked ready to charge down the corridor this very second. Ben found he couldn't blame him.
"Maybe you're right," he agreed slowly, the idea gaining traction the longer he considered it. "We could sure use their help."
From what Ben had heard, his own parents were among the best spell swords the Institute had. Between the two of them and Josh's dad, they would be able to provide a lot of additional firepower. Ben's parents might be protected, but Josh's dad probably wasn't, and if Saktar killed him because he discovered they had come for him, Ben knew Josh would never forgive him, and for good reason. When he turned to face his other friends, all he got was a mixture of concern, glares, and blank stares.
"You're not serious," Natalie said. "Are you? We finally make it all the way to Saktar's castle, and you want to go wandering off to find your parents?"
She turned to Josh.
"And your dad, too."
"You don't get it," Josh argued. "If it was your parents, I would do anything I could to save them, sure,"
Natalie agreed.
"I'm just a bit shocked that less than an hour after Krobeg gave his life to hold this tunnel so we could carry out our mission, you are considering throwing all that away to go off on a wild goose chase." Ben tell him, will you? When Ben didn't immediately answer, Natalie sniffed. Really? You too?
Ben raised his hands in defense.
It's not that, Natalie. I mean, of course I can't think of anything I'd want more than to save my parents, so I understand Josh on that. But it's also that the three of them would be a formidable force. We could use all the help we can get in here. Isn't that right?
Charlie had his arms crossed and was frowning. He could see both sides of it, but in truth, it didn't feel right to turn from their course after they had come this far. As they quieted down, he spoke.
I know Ben's parents, remember? I've met Joshua's dad, too. They're all good people, and they deserve to be safe. From what I've heard, they're all very good spell swords as well. But at the same time, that is the very reason we should not turn aside to find them. They would expect us to complete the mission.
Dagmar added her voice. What happens if we lose too much time getting to them? She asked. What if Saktar gets away because of that? What if he wins the war? How would your parents feel if they knew that all those other people died, that the Institute fell, because of them?
Ben grimaced as the point hit home. His parents had let everyone think they were traitors to the Institute rather than give up the secrets of Elizabeth's legacy. Not because they wanted it for themselves, but because they knew that Saktar was gaining in power and almost ready to move against the Institute again. The armor was the only thing that could stop the Dark Elf King. They had sacrificed everything, including being with Ben, to save the kingdoms. He couldn't let them down now by wasting that sacrifice, any more than he could squander Krobeck's. One look at Josh told him that the older boy felt the same way, which only made sense. Josh's dad had already been heavily committed to this war. He would want them to see the mission through to the end, to protect the greater good, even if that put him at risk. Josh nodded heavily.
Okay, yeah, I get it, he agreed slowly. Save the world first, then our parents.
He managed a small, sad smile with that.
Right, Ben confirmed.
He reached over and clapped a hand on Josh's shoulder.
We will save them, he stated,
half to Josh and half to himself.
And with Saktar gone, we'll have a much easier time of it anyway.
We'd better, Josh warned, but he didn't argue again.
Okay, Ben said, looking at his friends. Back on track. Dagmar, get us to Saktar. Josh and I will take care of the rest.
She nodded and took a step away from the rest of them, farther down the corridor. I will need a moment, she said, shutting her eyes. The glow around her boots, which had not faded after the battle, intensified. Natalie started and shifted to look past Ben, back the way they had come.
I don't think we have a minute, she said quickly, raising her spell shooter.
An instant later, Ben yelped and ducked as she fired. The red bolt from her weapon soared past him, striking a dark elf who had just rounded the corner, sword drawn and hand already glowing purple with power. Another soldier emerged right behind that one, and Ben fired off a spell of his own, freezing that one in a block of solid ice. The startled soldier toppled to the side, careening into a third and knocking him down as well. But more were already starting to appear behind them, crowding down the narrow path in their rush to reach Ben and the other guardians. Ben felt a wave of grief engulf him. Krobeck had fallen, and the dark elves were now free to attack again. The corridor was too narrow for them to come through more than a few at a time, but soon they'd fill the entire stretch from the door, and then they could simply overwhelm the guardians by sheer force of numbers, and this time there was no silver-haired dwarf to save them. His grief turned to anger as he realized their argument had wasted valuable time.
Run!
Ben shouted, gesturing farther down the corridor.
Go! Dagmar, worry about the path later. We need to move now!
He fired again and again, using the sword to block physical attacks and his own body to shield his friends from magic. The protection his parents had placed upon him was still strong, and the dark elf magic rebounded harmlessly, sometimes striking down another soldier. Even so, a moment of panic hit, as it seemed there were already far too many of them, and Ben found himself retreating bit by bit. If he could just hold the soldiers off until the others reached an intersection of some sort, they might be able to escape deeper into the castle, assuming more soldiers didn't appear to box them in from the other side, but he wasn't sure he'd be able to last that long. Joshua forced his way through to stand next to Ben, using the shield to protect them both. The others were doing their part as well. Spells lancing out from over Ben's shoulder, taking out a soldier here and there, or shattering their weapons. It helped, but the space was really only wide enough for the two of them. Ben parried a sword thrust, but one from the soldier beyond got through and nicked him in the shoulder. The blow wasn't deadly. The Dark Elf was too far away to do much more than score Ben's flesh with the tip of his blade. But it stung, and Ben knew it was only the first wound.
"Ben!"
Natalie screamed. That soldier fell, a rose bush sprouting around him, and he cried out in pain as the thorns dug into his flesh, but immediately another Dark Elf took his place. Ben raised his sword once more. The cut on his shoulder was starting to throb, and he could feel the blood dripping from it. Another attack caught him on his hand as he blocked a thrust, and the blood made his grip slippery on the hilt of Elizabeth's sword. He wasn't sure how much longer he could do this, but he had to try. Thrust, swipe, block, stab. He had holstered his spellshooter now and had both hands on the sword, arms aching and breath coming in ragged gasps. The enemy kept on coming, and all Ben had left was the sword and Joshua at his side, blocking what he could and shooting like mad. He knew it was only a matter of time before they were attacked from the other side of the tunnel. It was a miracle they hadn't been already. Suddenly, he went to attack, and the elves retreated a bit, leaving a gap. Had they somehow fought them off? The ground rumbled suddenly, followed by the crack of chain lightning forking into the cramped ranks of the Dark Elves. Ben stared. That had come from behind him, behind them all. Another bolt struck, this one a gleaming gold, then another a searing crimson. More and more of the soldiers fell, and after that first instant of surprise, Ben took full advantage of the unexpected aid. He rallied himself, striking down the soldiers who reached him while his unseen ally dealt with those behind, with Natalie and the others adding their firepower to the fight. Fewer and fewer Dark Elves faced him, and after another minute, there were only three, then two, then none. The way back down the corridor was clear, save for two shadows that slowly pulled away from the walls, and as Ben watched, took on shape, colour, and definition. It was a man and a woman, both tall and slender. She had elegant features and silvery hair swept up into a classic bun. He had darker hair and a rangier look and a long, full cloak. Wren, the Institute's spellsword director, gave them a grim smile.
"Hello, Ben. I hope you don't mind us dropping in."
He nodded, unable to think fast enough to reply properly, tired beyond anything he had experienced before. But it was the man with Wren who gave him a sinking feeling. Prince Robert, the director of the Institute, and Queen Elizabeth's direct descendant, stepped out of the shadows, his eyes heavily tinted with gold that glinted even in the dull light. The prince surveyed the now bedraggled group, the guardians of Elizabeth's armour. There was no way he could miss what they were wearing, as the artifacts were obviously still giving off light. He seemed to take it all in at a glance, and Ben couldn't help wondering what was going through the prince's mind, having been obsessed with finding his ancestor's legacy for himself. More than any of that, though, was a thought that looped through Ben's tired mind over and over again. What are Wren and Prince Robert doing here? One thing was for sure. It wasn't a coincidence. Chapter 28. Friend or Foe?
"Your Highness," Dagmar blurted out, bowing,
and the others all quickly followed suit.
"Director?"
she added, nodding respectfully towards Wren. Ben was a little too surprised to be so diplomatic.
"What are you doing here?" he demanded. "How did you find us?"
Suddenly he remembered the strange feeling he had gotten the other night, and his eyes narrowed. "You've been following us, haven't you?" Wren gave an immediate nod.
"Yes, we have," she admitted,
her voice and face as calm and unflustered as ever.
"Ever since the incident at the Institute, which I understand now, at least. You had a mission to complete, it seems."
She sighed, her expression sympathetic. She glanced at the pile of Dark Elf bodies littering the passageway, and then delicately lifted the hem of her long dress and stepped over and around them to approach, the prince following behind her. The minute the spellsword director was past all the bodies, Natalie rushed over.
"Am I glad to see you?"
she said, hugging Wren fiercely, and Wren returned the embrace,
a warm smile creasing her face. I thought we were done for.
So did we, Prince Robert agreed,
frowning as he studied the fallen attackers behind him. Then he turned to Ben, his face and voice stern.
We have been following you ever since Ren picked up a powerful mental presence a week or so ago. A strong will combating a High Lord of the Dark Elves. To our surprise, it was coming from within the kingdoms that are already under Saktar's domain. Suspecting a hidden ally, we followed the trail. We didn't catch up until you were fighting your way into the castle.
He shook his head.
We saw your dwarven friend at the entrance. I have never seen anything like it. Such courage and strength. Dwarves have always been a strong race, but I wouldn't have believed it.
Ren moved away from Natalie to stand in front of Ben and next to the prince.
If only we'd arrived sooner, we could have helped. But the truth is, we wouldn't have been able to hold back that many. Truly, it was the only way we would have made it this far.
Ben felt a strange mixture of pride, grief, and relief. Krobeg's sacrifice had not been in vain. The light was slowly dimming as the fires that had sprung from misplaced spells were dying out, and the glow of Elizabeth's armor was even more obvious in the gloom. The prince narrowed his eyes. He took a step towards Ben, his hand reaching out, and then dropping back.
After all this time, he whispered.
The tone of his voice had changed, and there was a slight quaver to it, a tremble almost. Ben tensed and looked across at Charlie, whose eyes were wide open. He tried mouthing something to Ben, but in the dim light it was hard to see. The prince turned slowly, taking in each of the guardians. Joshua, staring the prince straight in the eye, the shield glowing lightly around the edges and more brightly in the round protrusion right in the middle. Dagmar, the boots, a silver-bluish glow that lit her legs up to her waist. And lastly, Abigail, the helm held by her side.
How can this be? Robert asked. I had heard.
But no matter. You are here now, and you have my family's armor.
I have spent years.
Shaking his head in disbelief, he let out a dark, bitter chuckle. Ben was watching him closely and with great concern. The prince had always had flecks of gold in his eyes, but now they were a lot more obvious, and even as Ben was standing there, the gold seemed to be spreading.
It is as it should be, Prince Robert declared. We are here, united against this demon of the Dark Elves. Come, give me the armor. With it I will be powerful enough to defeat him once and for all.
He clenched his fists and leaned forwards, his eyes now almost glowing gold. Ben had to do something, and quick. This was getting out of hand.
Guardians, he called out, to me!
As a unit, they moved together. Joshua at his side with a shield held out, Abigail next to Joshua, and Dagmar on her other side. The prince stepped back, a look of surprise on his face. He looked over at Ren, his face going ugly with anger.
Ren, is this how our apprentices are taught now? But I suppose it's not a surprise with the master of the apprentices as one of them.
Ren had a small frown on her face, but she was looking at the prince, not the guardians.
Sire, we came here to help them, remember? We came because we knew, both of us, that somehow here would be the key to this war.
The prince seemed to be struggling with himself. Anger warred with confusion, his eyes shifting between them. Ben could see that the energy from the armor was pulsing now, and seemed to be in alignment with the gold pulsing in the prince's eyes.
We're on the same side, sire.
He looked again at Charlie, getting desperate. Charlie was slashing his hand across his neck over and over, indicating that Ben was doing something wrong and needed to stop at once. Finally, he pushed in front of Ben.
What my overly enthusiastic friend is trying to say, Your Highness, is that Queen Elizabeth, your great-great-great-great-grandma, intentionally left the pieces of armour to the families of these people you see here in order to protect it.
Charlie turned around and motioned to the guardians.
From Saktar, and anyone else who tried to take it and use it for themselves.
The prince narrowed his eyes again, golden slits shining through like a cat's.
Exactly. Protect it until I can have it.
Charlie was bouncing on the balls of his feet now,
nervously trying to calm the prince. "No, no, not at all. I do hate to have to correct His Royal Highness, but in actual fact, one of the reasons Her Majesty did it was to ensure that no single person got all of the armour. It is much too powerful for a single person to use, and she was worried. Worried about you, Your Highness."
The prince's eyes dulled a bit, some brown coming through now.
"How could she be worried about me?" he asked, shaking his head.
Wren finally stepped forwards and put her hand on the prince's arm.
"This answers so many questions, my prince. You told me yourself that you knew. You just felt that something wasn't right."
Wren was studying Ben now.
"This was the secret you could not tell me," she guessed,
her voice soft and her face slightly pained.
"The secret your parents hid from me."
Ben nodded.
"I'm sorry," he told her, and meant it. "I wanted to tell you. It wasn't that I didn't trust you, but Elizabeth made all of the Guardians promise not to reveal their secret to anyone, no matter what, and to pass that promise down through their families. That's why my parents didn't tell you, and why I couldn't either."
He had been tempted to several times. Wren had helped him so much, it just hadn't felt right keeping anything from her. But he knew Her Majesty must have had a reason. The Spellsword Director nodded.
"I understand," she assured him calmly.
She sighed.
"I am sorry you had to carry this burden all alone."
Ben glanced around him, at Natalie, still standing with Wren, but smiling at him, and Charlie behind him, and Josh and Dagmar and Abigail.
"Not alone," he corrected,
feeling a surge of pride and warmth. It was true. He had always had Charlie and Natalie with him, right from the beginning, and then the other Guardians as well. They had his back, no matter what. But then his eyes slid back to the prince, still standing before him, and that golden gaze fixed upon the sword in Ben's hand. Now the truth was out, and they stood here with Elizabeth's armour in all its glory. What would Prince Robert do? He didn't seem to know himself.
"It is mine by right," he declared again.
But he did not sound as convinced as he had before, and Ben thought he saw a hint of the prince's normal eyes behind the golden glaze. Was he attempting to fight whatever strange obsession had overcome him?
"Queen Elizabeth said that no one person could wear the armour and survive,"
Ben continued from where Charlie had left off, "and that it would mess with the mind of anyone who tried. That was why she split it up. That, and because she didn't want Saktar to find it again. She thought it would be safer if each piece was left with someone different, and then those people could come together if it was needed again. It was given to the original directors of the Institute, and it has been passed down to the youngest in each family line ever since."
"I understand," Prince Robert stated slowly,
his jaw clenched, each word emerging as if forced.
"And I appreciate your family's dedication and loyalty, all of yours."
Sweat beaded the prince's face, dripping down his forehead and cheeks. He started walking in small circles, talking almost to them, but mostly to himself.
"The first directors, yes, I can see the logic in that. And in the first prince's diary, he always seemed so, well, obsessed. I have felt that way, I have, but it just seems that I could do so much."
The last he directed at Ben, a hand reaching out almost in some sort of last hope. Ben shook his head, his voice remaining firm.
"Queen Elizabeth charged the Guardians with using her armour against Saktar," he replied. "That's our task. The one that's been passed down through our families all these years. We can't just hand it over now."
The prince's hands clenched and then shifted to his spellshooter and his sword.
"You must,"
he insisted, his voice going slightly shrill, desperation now creeping in.
"I need it."
"You don't know how to use it,"
Charlie countered, slipping into scholarly mode.
"Ben and Josh and the others have trained for this. The armour has accepted them, and they've learned how to fight with it. You haven't,
and there isn't time for you to learn, even if it would accept you. Ben shot his best friend a grateful glance.
He's right, he agreed. We have trained for this, and it definitely is not like firing a spell shooter. There's no way to catch you up in time. This has to be done by the Guardians. It's why we're here.
Ben tensed, readying himself in case the situation suddenly went pear-shaped. He knew Ren wouldn't aid the prince in attacking them, but he was equally certain that she wouldn't fight him either. Ben hated to admit it, but he needed to be sure they could get past the prince if necessary, so they could continue the mission even if he tried to stop them. It was an extremely worrying thought. The prince was incredibly powerful, and apparently one of the best spell swords the Institute had ever had. Prince Robert opened his mouth to say something, but whatever it was got interrupted as a beam of purple light lanced straight for him. The prince fired a shield spell at the last possible second, drawing his own sword and turning in the direction the attack had come, which was past and behind the Guardians. Ben had to twist around to see what was there, and when he did, he tried not to groan. It was a small unit of Suktar's soldiers, each of them bigger than most of the other Dark Elves they had seen thus far. As they came closer, Ben noticed that two of them were Shadow Seekers. The others seemed to exude some sort of purple glow, a short sword in either hand. They quickly fanned out to cut the Guardians off from fleeing farther into the castle. Ben turned to face them, the Guardians taking their positions without thought, Abigail donning the helm and Joshua raising his shield as he sidled up to Ben. It wouldn't be easy, but they should be able to... Ben cursed under his breath. The soldiers were not alone. Striding in just behind the elite force, but now pushing through to the front, was a tall, muscular figure. His armor was more impressive than that of his guards. A magnificent purple cloak covered in glowing golden hieroglyphs was draped over his broad shoulders, and his long, silvery hair was swept back from a cruel but handsome face. Cold, cold eyes that glowed a vivid purple surveyed them, his thin lips turning up in a sneer as he studied the Guardians, the spellsword director, and finally the prince.
"Well, well," he declared, stepping into the centre of the corridor, his guards immediately flanking him. "Benjamin Greenwood, what a pleasure. I believe you have something that I want."
Next, the Dark Elf's eyes flicked to where Prince Robert was standing, and the sneer widened.
"The valiant Prince Robert, what a lovely surprise."
"Prince Iktid," the director of the Institute replied, and the ice in his voice could have frozen the entire castle solid.
"Still doing your master's bidding, I see," he said sharply, his own gaze narrowing as a smug little smile touched his lips.
He raised his sword, and Ben was pleased to see that the gold in the prince's eyes had faded back to a few speckles. Somehow, the moment had passed, and Ben didn't know which way it would have gone in the end if they hadn't been so spectacularly interrupted. There was a moment when the two princes faced each other, each watching the other and waiting for him to make the first move. Then, as if all too aware that this might be only a temporary reprieve, the prince let out a roar.
"For the Institute!"
and charged his opposite, his sword held high and his spellshooter leveled at chest height. Ben paused for a second before he made a decision. They had to get out. They had to do what they had come here for, or die trying. He turned towards the only guard blocking their way and leapt towards him, knowing that the other Guardians would follow.
"For the Institute! For the Queen!" he screamed,
defiant despite the odds. The sound of running feet and shouting told him that his friends had indeed joined the fray. The guards' double swords swiped and slashed, keeping Elizabeth's sword at bay and almost cutting Ben's head clean off, if not for Joshua saving his life again. He'd lost count now how many times the Guardian of the Shield had been there for him. Half a dozen spells of different types flew in and around, smashing into the Dark Elf and finally breaching his defense. Ben moved forwards and slipped under the elf's guard, a scream escaping the warrior's lips as Ben stabbed the sword up between his ribs, blood gushing out in a garish red. Ben backed off, slightly sick at the brutality of it all, but heart pumping with adrenaline at the same time. He turned to his friends, circled around him and the dead elf.
"It's time to end this!"
Chapter 29. Where the Real Fight Is. Just as they turned to head out, Ben noticed the two Shadow Seekers homing in on Wren. He paused, torn between finishing their mission and leaving another friend to die. "Go!" Wren shouted, seeing Ben hesitate. She waved her hand, and a stream of small gold darts shot forth, straight for Prince Iktid's remaining bodyguards. One of them deflected the tiny missiles with his sword, another with a pane of purple light, and a third simply sidestepped. But the fourth cried out, as several of the darts slammed into his cheek, neck, and shoulder. "We will handle this!" Ben still hesitated. He knew that Wren and Prince Robert were incredibly skilled, but Iktid was a monster, almost insanely powerful. With the Shadow Seekers and his personal bodyguards, Ben knew that even those two would be hard-pressed to get out of here alive. Of course, the coldly logical part of Ben knew that it didn't matter. Whether Wren and the Prince won or not, as long as they delayed Iktid so that Ben could reach Suktar, they would have succeeded in at least giving him a chance to deliver the final blow. Warring with this logic was another part of him, the part that was still grieving Krobeg's death, and Ben was finding it extremely hard to handle the emotional strain of possibly losing another so fast.
"Ben!" Natalie shouted. "She's right! We need to go!"
The sound of Natalie's voice spurred Ben into action. Natalie adored Wren, and was completely devoted to the Spellsword Director. If she had the courage to leave her, Ben could hardly fail to do the same. He sprinted for the exit, but just as they were going to turn down a corridor, he couldn't resist one last glance over his shoulder. Prince Robert and Prince Iktid were trading sword blows and spells, Robert using a spell shooter that was more advanced than any Ben had ever laid eyes on, and Iktid using only his own innate magical gifts as an unseen. 10 feet away, Wren was facing the two Shadow Seekers and the remaining bodyguards on her own. And, as Ben watched, one of them slid around behind his fellows, raised his sword, and suddenly darted in, lunging at Wren from the side while she was busy fending off the others. Just as his blade was about to stab deep into her unprotected side, a gleaming green disc appeared, knocking it aside. The blade shattered, and the Dark Elf warrior snarled in frustration, tossing the useless sword handle aside and drawing a long, wicked-looking dagger instead. Ben glanced around, wondering who had saved Wren, and gave a shout of encouragement as Dagmar stepped up beside the Spellsword Director, her own spell shooter drawn and leveled at their opponents. 2 against 4, that seemed like a much fairer fight. Natalie was tugging on Ben's arm.
"We need to get out of here," she reminded him urgently, "before they decide to ignore Wren and the Prince and come after us instead."
Ben nodded and allowed her to lead him away. They crossed the junction point, making their way towards the opposite side. As he walked, Ben looked over and met Prince Robert's gaze for a second. The Prince's eyes were clear and focused, and he gave Ben a sharp nod before turning back to face Iktid once more. Ben felt a great deal better about everything all of a sudden. If they made it through the battle with Suktar, they'd see if the Prince was permanently over his need for the armor. But at least for now, Prince Robert seemed to have come to terms with the fact that it was the Guardians, not him, who would wield Elizabeth's armor. Charlie, Abigail and Josh were already waiting just past the junction.
"I don't like leaving Wren, Dagmar and the Prince to face those guys alone," Charlie stated, glancing back towards the fight raging safely behind them. "But I know we all agree we don't really have a choice."
Ben nodded.
"We need to find Suktar and end all this," he agreed. "Abigail, is there any chance you can use the helm to figure out where he is?"
He didn't bother to point out that this was crucial now. Elizabeth's boots had done their job and gotten them to the palace, but finding Suktar was another matter. Abigail was already pale from her first real battle. Ben had seen her fighting just as hard as any of the others, and she looked wiped from it. At his suggestion, her cheeks went even whiter. But after a second, she nodded.
"I think so," she answered softly.
Pulling the helm from her pack, she simply stared at it for a moment. Then, with a deep sigh, she lifted the helm up and slipped it down over her head. Instantly, Ben saw her eyes lose focus and her body stiffen. He knew that meant Abigail's mind was now soaring free, scanning their immediate surroundings before branching outwards. He also knew it was a risk having her use the helm here in Suktar's fortress, but they really had no other options left. They were out of time and out of choices.
With the number of guards around in this place, and all the people dying in the fighting all over the unseen and seen kingdoms, time was absolutely of the essence. The sooner he found Saktar, the sooner he could face off against possibly the most powerful, brutal, borderline godlike sorcerer in the world. Ben shook his head and sighed. Ridiculous, but he had to try. Judging from the exterior, this castle was huge. There was no way Ben had the time to search the entire place for his adversary, not when every moment counted. Ben was brought back to the present as he noticed Abigail shuddering and shaking her head.
No, no, no,
she whispered, her skin nearly chalk white. But after another moment, she opened her eyes very suddenly and yanked the helm from her head.
I found him, she gasped, and I was able to get away before he tried to grab me again.
She shuddered slightly, accepting a quick hug from Natalie before turning to Ben again.
He's waiting for you in his throne room. Ben, I have to come with you. With the helm, I can barely stop him from completely overwhelming my mind, and without the helm's protection, you won't get anywhere close to him, let alone win a fight.
She gently put her hand on his forearm, showing she didn't mean to offend him. Ben gave her a quick hug to reassure her.
You continue to amaze me.
She flashed a brief smile at that, but it faded fast. The stress was getting to all of them. Ben turned to Charlie and Natalie.
You two need to get somewhere safe, he ordered,
looking at his best friends. Then he nodded to Josh and Abigail.
Okay, guys, it's time to go put a stop to this evil maniac once and for all.
Josh grunted in agreement, appreciating Ben's attempt to lighten the mood.
I'm ready,
he stated, adjusting the artifact on his arm.
Let's go.
But Charlie shook his head.
I'm not, he said.
Ben stared at his best friend.
You can't come with me this time, Charlie, he insisted. I'm sorry, it's just too dangerous.
I know, Charlie agreed. Believe me, I know, but I'm not just going to hide somewhere. There's something else Natalie and I can do instead.
He straightened up and lifted his chin.
We can find and free your parents. Both of your parents.
Ben frowned. Finding his parents would be dangerous, and freeing them borderline impossible. He was about to say as much, but Natalie cut him off.
Don't even think about it.
She had her arms crossed over her chest, and a frown wrinkling her smooth elven forehead.
You're about to go and face off against Mr. Powerful himself, a probable suicide mission, and you want us to hide in a closet?
She tapped her foot rapidly, cheeks slightly flushed. Ben tried a quick backpedal.
It's not that.
The foot carried on tapping, and Ben was trying to work out what to say when Charlie piped up again.
Listen, Charlie said.
You and Josh were both pretty much off your game earlier, because you were hoping we'd be able to find and rescue your parents right away. But unless you have insanely good luck, there is no way for you to search this entire castle for them, not without weeks and weeks.
He puffed up his chest. We can look for them for you, and you can go after Saktar knowing we'll be on it. Ben considered that a moment. He, Josh, and Abigail made a strong, tight little team to go after Saktar. They could find him, fight him on both a physical and mental level, and with a Mount Everest-sized amount of luck, defeat him. Charlie and Natalie would not be much help with that, but Charlie was right. They could find and free his parents and Josh's dad. Then they could all escape to someplace safe, and at least Ben wouldn't have to stare at the exact same spot on the wall for much longer.
All right, he agreed finally. You want to go look for our parents? That would be great. I do, however, want to point out that this is easily up there as a contestant for one of the worst plans I or any of us has ever come up with.
A collection of brief smiles passed across his friends' faces. He sighed and turned to Joshua and Abigail.
Shall we?
They both nodded, and together the three of them turned away. Before they could leave, however, Natalie grabbed Ben in a fierce hug.
Be safe, please,
she told him very seriously, once she'd pulled back.
You too,
he replied, hugging her back. Charlie joined them, and Ben immediately grabbed his best friend in a hug as well.
Watch each other's backs,
Ben urged, once he'd released them both.
Okay?
You got it,
Charlie agreed.
We'll take care of this. You just go deal with Sauron.
Ben rolled his eyes.
I will,
he promised.
Be careful.
Yeah, you too,
Charlie replied. His eyes looked suspiciously damp in the dim light, and he blinked and turned quickly away. Ben led Joshua and Abigail away down a side corridor, one that would take them deeper into the castle. He did not let himself look back. He couldn't think about his friends right now, or about the battle still raging behind them. As they'd all said, he had to focus on Suktar now, and nothing else. When that was done, then he could relax, assuming he was still alive by then. Chapter 30. The King of Aurelia. The corridors were wide and incredibly high, now that they were close to where the lords of the Dark Elf Realm had their chambers. Great arched passages, decorated with paintings and tapestries of all types and scenes, were lit by grand chandeliers, each supporting hundreds of candles. They trotted along, three abreast, with Abigail slightly in front. After travelling to the throne room in her mind's eye, she instinctively knew the way. Abigail paused suddenly and held out her hand.
"Someone's coming. Quick, this way."
After turning back the way they had come, she darted into a side door and ushered the others in, shutting it quickly. The room was utterly dark until Joshua pulled out a box of matches and lit one. Although not much, it showed where they were.
Abigail, this is a closet.
Ben could just see her rolling her eyes in the dimness.
I know that, you ninny. Hang on a second.
Joshua went to say something as well, but she grabbed his arm hard. After a few minutes had passed, Abigail opened the door slightly and looked out, breathing a sigh of relief.
Okay, it's clear.
She walked out, followed by the boys. After a few steps, she rounded on them, hands on hips.
Now you two listen here, and you listen good. You boys may think you've got the hardest task with taking out Suktar, but you've missed one small detail. It's not going to be a simple stroll to his throne room. I didn't mention it before, but his palace is crawling with dark elves of all types.
She took a step forwards, wagging her finger at them. Despite himself, Ben took a step back and noticed Joshua do the same.
I can get you past all of them, even though I'm almost crying in terror, but we've got to do this. So you both pay attention and do what I say, and just maybe we'll get there in one piece.
Abigail gave a sharp nod, turned on her heel, and started walking rapidly in the other direction. After a moment, she turned around, noticing neither Ben nor Joshua had moved.
Well?
They looked at each other, and Joshua leaned over to Ben.
I have a feeling we just found out who's really in charge.
Ben chuckled to himself and got moving, but after a moment, the brief humour died in his throat. Although Abigail mentioned that it was only a half-hour walk to the throne room, it took a few hours before they were close. Every few minutes, Abigail was stopping them and launching in a different direction, opening a door and shutting them in, or just having them stop in place while she somehow hid them in plain sight. Ben's heart was in his mouth as a patrol marched by, within inches of where they were pushed up against a wall, one of them even looking right at him before carrying on. As they hunched down behind a column, Abigail whispered to them both.
It's another few corridors, through a large entry room, and then what seemed like a tunnel of sorts. On the other side of the tunnel, there is a great round room, like a dome, and through that are the doors.
She stood up and knuckled the small of her back, sighing to herself.
We'll be so close to Suktar, I'm not sure the helm can fully hide us, and there'll be no doubling back any more. We have one route now, and one route alone.
Ben stood as well, and looked up and down the hallway they were in.
Well, you've done an incredible job as it is, getting us this far. I can really see why Elizabeth did what she did creating the Guardians. I can't imagine trying to do this myself.
Abigail smiled nervously.
Sadly, I think this was the easy part.
She put her hand on her stomach and took a few breaths. Joshua joined them, shield at the ready and spell shooter out.
You've got us here like you said you would. Now we've got to do our part.
He nodded to Ben, who nodded back. Ben had that feeling he sometimes got when a plan was beginning to form. Joshua evidently noticed.
Ben, no. Whatever your plan is, just no.
Ben threw his hands in the air.
What? You haven't even heard it yet. And believe me, I've got a feeling this is the best one yet.
Joshua groaned, but they started moving slowly towards the end of the hallway as Ben laid out his idea. To his surprise, Josh started nodding.